Hello, welcome to The 30 Project. My name's John Naylor, and I'm trying to make sense of growing up one conversation at a time. Firstly, sorry this episode has taken a little bit longer to get uploaded. I'm trying to keep them regular, so hopefully there won't be too many of these gaps in the future. You might already know what this is about from listening to the earlier episodes, but in a nutshell, I've just turned 30, and I'm trying to find out how other people of my generation are dealing with the pressure of reaching this milestone age, because I've been struggling a little bit. Now, don't forget, if you've got a view or a story about turning 30, or you know someone who does that you think would be great to chat to, you can get in touch through my website. That's the30project.co.uk, 30 the number, not the word. Or you can email direct to hello@the30project.co.uk. Again, that's the numbers. So my next guest is another one who emailed in, and I was immediately just blown away by her story. Steph Wedderburn is 28, a mum to a one-year-old son, and the former owner of two businesses. But there's a lot more to it than that. I'll let her tell you the whole story, but one of the most striking things to me was how much she's had to deal with in such a short space of time. And not only that, but she seems to be a really positive person too, despite everything. This episode's a little bit longer than the others, but hopefully you can understand why. I had real trouble taking things out as it was just all so interesting to me. So here we go, and I started off by asking Steph how her attitudes have changed now that she's getting closer to 30.
Having a child has definitely changed my perspective on life, and I'm really, really scared of dying. And I never ever used to be. It never even crossed my mind. I used to love watching gory films and things like that. I used to like thrive off it. And now I can't, like my stomach turns. And you hear lots of people at 30 getting cancer. Like it's not uncommon in your 30s to have cancer and things like that. And so I think my own mortality is starting to catch up with me a little bit. And I know kind of from the previous podcast that you've done so far, there always seems to be this debate between is career or family more important? And I have a lot that I can offer you on that scale because, gosh, I've been forced to choose more times than I would care to at this point. What I wanted to do by 30, I've achieved one thing. Yeah, I've ticked one box and I've got one half right, and then the other half I seem to have gotten desperately wrong, and I have no idea what's going to come next and kind of what 30 is going to look like for me now. And that's a bit alarming, but I'm also okay with it. I think I've come to accept that actually I'm still young, and I think my professional background in the tech industry has resulted in me kind of thinking I need to do everything and achieve everything and be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. And I think it's a trap that a lot of us millennials fall into. And I think I've learned to slow down a little bit and just appreciate the now.
Having to decide between family and career, something that everybody seems to be considering and something that you have, as you said, great experience in. Can you just talk through a bit of that and explain to me what sort of those decisions were that you had to make?
I think at 22, 23, I had a good job in an agency working in social media. And I got some unfortunate news. I'd known for a while that I have eye problems, manifested when I was about 19 years old. And then through genetic testing and so on and so forth, they found the marker in my father. And then we knew actually, okay, this is what this is. And there is no cure. There is no going back or saving it. You are going to lose your vision. It was kind of a shocker. And if I lose my vision, I lose my job because it's all computer based. It's quite integral. So I thought, right, well, if I build a business and I build something that can operate without me there, that can continue to generate an income because the condition I have is non-linear. It's not a thing where, okay, so it will happen slowly and I won't lose my sight until I'm, say, 60. We don't know. I could wake up tomorrow and it could be gone. So there's really kind of no predicting it. So I thought, right, well, I'll start building something now. And within a year, I'd made, you know, a really good success of it. I had 3 employees. We had an office in town. And things are going very, very well for me. I meet so many kind of keen and positive 20-somethings that are all like, yeah, we're going to make it before we're 30 and we're going to be super rich. And I think I fell into that trap. And then my partner and I decided to have a child. But, you know, you kind of think to yourself, I've got 9 months to figure this out. But unfortunately, I was very, very, very sick during my pregnancy, really sick. And very, very quickly, I kind of saw this thing that I'd built just crumble away. And that was kind of devastating, really, because I did really well. I got nominated for awards 3 years running, and I'd built this thing all on my own. And that hurt to let it go, but I had to have my family. I didn't know it at the time, but I had a condition called hyperemesis gravidarum, which is basically just like having a stomach flu 24/7 for months and months and months. So I'm not talking like I felt a little bit unwell. I was largely unconscious, dehydrated, puking all of the time. And yeah, I couldn't do things like wash and get up the stairs, let alone work and manage a company. Whilst I did social media because I was very good at it, it was never really my passion. My passion is very much food, the hearth, feeding people, bringing people together. And we'd moved to a small town. We'd had the perfect house and we thought, you know, this could be the place. This is where we could really set our life up. And the very first day that we came here, we'd sat in a small deli and I looked around at this deli. I thought, yeah, this is just the sort of thing. And then a few months after settling into our house, I saw that deli was for sale. And I had no money. I've, you know, just had a baby. I'm still technically on maternity leave. I haven't got two pennies to rub together. But lo and behold, this deli is for sale. And I thought, okay, here's my second chance. I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy this deli. So I put a business plan together. I submitted it to the UK Startup Loan. And lo and behold, they gave me the full grant. I got a massive amount of money. Well, for me, I'm sure not for kind of, you know, the tech startups of the world. But it was enough for me to put an offer in and to buy this deli. And so I did, and we got off to a fairly good start, and then everything that could go wrong did go wrong. It was awful. It's very difficult. Your previous person, Ed, you know, the PhD student, she'd mentioned how there should be support for women to still be badass and be working and still be parents. And that's a really key point because there just isn't. In a startup, you don't expect to be paid for a year. That's okay. But when you've been running it for so long, there is no statutory pay. There is very kind of little support. And at this point, I have a child. I have childcare to pay for, and I'm not able to take money out of the business, but I'm paying tax, I'm employing people, I'm putting into the community, but you don't get help with childcare, you don't get anything really. And that came with a whole set of challenges because I wasn't earning, but I still had this massive extra cost to the family of putting my little one in childcare. And then we got broken into, and then big bits of equipment broke down. The man that I got out to fix my equipment stole my deposit and never came back. Like, literally everything, John, that could go wrong went wrong. And then we thought, yeah, we'd wanted to kind of start trying again once our first child hit a year old. And then we decided, we can't, like, that will be the end of days. We have to make this deli work. But lo and behold, someone up there was going, no, you won't. No, family will come first. And nature had its own little way. And yes, it's very happy news, but it's presented a massive set of difficulties in that I am indeed pregnant again with our second child. This time I got very sick again, still very sick, and I have now been diagnosed with hyperemesis gravidarum. So it kind of makes a lot of sense as to why I was so ill the first time round. And I've been in and out of hospital, having to get kind of manually rehydrated by drip, and, you know, it's not pretty. And because I made a big investment this time around. I'd actually, you know, invested a huge amount of personal money and this loan into this, and it's just closed. It's gone. It's dead. It's that's it. And I now have an outstanding amount of debt that I will never be able to pay back. I can't even get close to what my monthly repayments are because this business is no longer operating. It went into a negative cash flow. I had no more to put into it. And so that means that at the ripe old age of 28, with a one-year-old and a second child on the way and just my partner's income to live on, I am now going bankrupt, which is not where I thought I would be at 28, put it that way.
For somebody who's had to go through so much in such a short space of time, I have to say you sound remarkably upbeat still. And it's a lot of it, which is through no fault of your own, which must be the most frustrating thing.
It is. It is really frustrating. But then I made that decision to have a family and to get pregnant, and there are always risks with that. I didn't expect to get HG, which is a horrible thing. But having its family alone will always present with difficulties. But I just think in my head, I had this vision of having a baby on the hip and a laptop in the other hand, and, you know, I can do this. And I did the first few months. It's quite easy, you know, the first kind of 6 months with a newborn is all right, because they mostly just sleep or feed. And I'm a modern woman. I've sat in meetings across the table from a male company director breastfeeding while still taking notes and talking to him about his business, and managed to hold my own. Having a baby, albeit latched on, that doesn't make me any less good at what I do. And I kind of really stuck by that and dug my heels in. You know, you say that the things that have happened to me are not being my fault, but they are all decisions that I made. I made the decision to kind of let my love of business just keep simmering down, and to concentrate on this deli instead, this grand new idea. I made the decision to get a very big loan and to do all of this, and the risks that comes with that. So I kind of feel like actually I did it to myself. Like, yeah, I can't control the break-in. I can't control some of those things that happened in the cash flow. I certainly can't control nature and getting sick again. It is frustrating. I put my family under a lot of pressure by doing that. And I put my whole family through a huge amount of risk, and we've been struggling financially ever since as a result. And it is annoying that I did that. But you have to live with those decisions.
If you had that vision of, oh, I really want to run this successful deli, despite the fact that it really hasn't gone to plan, are you still in some ways glad that you tried?
I think my partner is, in a way. He now says, well, have you got it out your system? You know, this thing about wanting a food business, now that you've done it and you've tried it and you realize it's not what you think it is, are you done? And I think the reality is yes, I probably am done. I still want to do something, but I think whatever that is, whatever that looks like in a year or two or 5 or 10 years time, I'm going to start small. And that's the big lesson I've learned. Everything I've done, I've tried to go very big, very quickly. And I think, again, it's that pressure to have succeeded by the time you're 30 and to have this massive successful empire that you've built. We're not all Mark Zuckerbergs of the world. And I think there's a huge pressure to be exactly that. And so whatever I do next, I'm starting small. I'm not getting capital or investment. I'm going to start just from home and build it up over a course of years as opposed to months. There's no need to rush life. And I really feel like I've rushed my 20s. I mean, I have a beautiful family, and that's a massive, massive success for me. But in terms of my career, I think my own ambition has probably been my undoing, if that makes sense. I don't think that the world or me, or, you know, I don't think the best of me has been seen yet. I think that's still, from a career point of view, I think that still remains to be discovered. I don't know what that thing is yet, but actually, I'm only 28. I've got all of my 30s still to figure this out, and that's okay. Think how much I've achieved in 4 or 5 years. You know, I've had two businesses. One was very successful, one less so. I've got a child, a wonderful partner, a nice home. We're very harsh on ourselves as millennials. Like, you know, we should have made it by the time we're 19, never mind 36.
yeah, definitely. To talk a bit about your family as well, because obviously it's such a huge part of your life. How much solace have you found in that side of your life?
Oh God, they're everything. You say, you know, I sound cheery. I think I sound cheery now because I've made a decision. You know, I've made the decision. I have to go bankrupt. That's just it now. But having to make that decision to close that business. And there was one evening when I was on my own and I was in bed, and I had a meltdown, I don't remember feeling that way for a very, very long time. And I actually rang the Samaritans, and I've never ever had to do that. And I rang Samaritans, and they just said, sorry, all of our volunteers are busy right now, and hung up.
No way.
And so I was kind of like in this pit of utter despair. And I think if I was still single and living the city life, the outcome would have been very different for me. But my family gave me the strength I needed to get through that. And they are so much more important. My health and my family, they're the most important thing to me. And I don't know where I lost sight of that. I think I got carried away by the excitement of the industry that I was in. But I mean, it kind of a very, very, very quick nutshell. I was abused by my mother. I didn't know my father. And my grandparents took me in when I was a young teenager. And then by the time I was 17, they'd fallen very ill. And so I've self-supported since I was 17. I lost them both in my late teens. And since then, I've very much been on my own and kind of battled through. But it leaves a massive hole. And that hole has been present for a very, very long time. And when I met my partner for the first time, it was kind of like, wow, that hole, that's healing. And it all happened at the same time. You know, I kind of reached the success of my career at the same time. I kind of came to this understanding that this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. And then, of course, we had a child. And that is like nothing compares. I have my own family now. I used to spend Christmases on other people's sofas, you know, different kind of distant, more distant family members or friends. And I always felt kind of like the charity case. I dreaded Christmas because before I would just go wherever my grandma went. I always spent it with her. And now, like that first Christmas when I had Christmas with my partner, his family came over and my own son, that was like, wow, this is great. I'm no longer an alien. Yes, money's good. I'd love to have a nice manor in the Lake District or, I don't know, somewhere sunnier one day and be a millionaire with my many businesses. But actually, if I was alone in that, I don't think I'd enjoy it nearly as much. Maybe I wouldn't have got through that night without my family there to get me to where I am now. So I think for me, family definitely has to come out on top first in this whole debate between career or family. But I do think it's sad that I had to choose and that there wasn't more support for a female, dare I say, entrepreneur. I'm not really keen on that word, but I guess I'm something like that. I wish there was more help and more support because you can't do both as much as I kind of thought I could. And there are women that do, and I admire those women. But with the difficulties and the illnesses I faced as well, it's just impossible, unfortunately.
The thing with your eyesight, I find really fascinating because you mentioned earlier on it's not a linear progression. It could be a steep progression at any point. Personally, I can't comprehend how you would sort of reconcile that in your head and manage to deal with it, because it must have been a great mental obstacle to overcome, to just come to terms with.
I've had a very long time to come to terms with it. I don't know, it's kind of like the sickness. You take good days and bad days. Like sometimes it's more obvious to me because I still have my independence. I'm not blind. Yes, I'm partially sighted. I can't drive. I do rely on public transport. I have to have large text and large fonts. In the day to day, it's quite easy just to kind of get on and forget about it. There's obviously that fear that it will suddenly get worse. I was scared for a really long time that I wouldn't be able to see my children and see their faces as they grew up. And that was kind of the really frightening thing, and the fact that it's genetic. And so there is a fair old chance that my children will have the same disorder. But the disorder manifests in people in very different ways. And so there's no guarantee that they will indeed have it or that it will present as severely. I've been quite unlucky in how bad it is. You know, my father's made it to his 60s and has lost vision in one eye, but can still drive. I mean, come on, that's not fair. There is a very, very slight silver lining. I found out just a handful of months ago. It's funny how these things all change, but I'd seen a new consultant having recently moved area. And I was given some comfort in that I will not go 100% blind, I will retain, with a bit of luck, some peripheral vision. So I will look constantly shifty. I've always been giving people sideways glances, but if that little shifty sideways glance is how I get to see my children when they're older, or heaven forbid, no, it'd be lovely, but my grandchildren, then cool, you know, that's okay. I can handle that. So in a way, I've been given a tiny little bit back. But even before that, and kind of thinking the worst would happen, I don't know, I just made peace with it. I just kind of decided, right, well, I'm going to do as much as I can now, whilst it's open to me and whilst I can, and enjoy every day and try and make the most of little things, because they're really kind of what make up the everyday and what make life beautiful. It sounds really, really cheesy, but when you're faced with the possibility of not being able to enjoy those silly little things, I don't know, it changes your perspective a little bit.
It sounds to me that you are someone who's had, you know, at least their fair share of challenges in the last sort of, in the stage of your growing up. But as I mentioned, you do seem like you've approached them all with a great positivity. Do you feel like the challenges you faced growing up with your family, like you said, with the abuse that you suffered, do you feel like that better prepares you to deal with these challenges because you can almost put them into perspective?
I think so, yeah. I kind of had an epiphany recently whilst going through kind of all this upset with the business and the bankruptcy and things like this. It's a very horrible thing that I'm going through right now, but it's not the worst thing that I've gone through. And I think once I did manage to get that perspective back, it kind of made it okay. You know, having lost the person that I was most dependent on in the world at a time when I desperately needed them, that's the worst feeling, kind of having to reconcile that, to pick yourself up and to just get on. That's the worst. I can't even remember those years sometimes. And I think now the equivalent would be losing my partner or my child. I can't even begin to reconcile that in my head. And so, yeah, it sucks, the situation that I'm in at this very moment in time, but it's not the worst thing.
Have you got any advice for me as somebody who's listened to the podcast and sort of has a fair idea of the perspective that I'm coming from at the moment?
The advice would be just don't rush. We don't have to have everything figured out and done by 30. It's such an unrealistic pressure, you know. In terms of careers and the millennials, we have a very tech-focused world. Not everyone is in the tech industry. I appreciate that. But we all benefit from and use and utilize modern technology, and you hear of these guys that started out in the garage and have sold their businesses for multi-millions, billions of pounds or dollars. And we should all be going to that success. I mean, gosh, they're not even 20. And look what they've done, or they're not 30, and they've achieved all of this. And that is true for some people, but it isn't a reality for the everyday, for the norm, for the Joe Bloggs and Jane Does of the world. It isn't the be all and end all. It isn't really that easy or achievable. I think it's far more important to just enjoy the everyday, irrelevant of if you're ill or not ill or how long or short you think your future is going to be. You only have today to deal with right now. And I think we are all too keen to wish that away or to rush it and not actually appreciate what we have right now.
A massive thank you to Steph for chatting to me, and yet another really good bit of advice to end on. I think it's true that lots of us push really hard in our 20s, and it's only once you get past those experiences that you might stop to think, maybe that wasn't quite as important as I made it out to be at the time. That's all for episode 6, but as I mentioned before, if you have any questions for me, suggestions for the show, or you think you'd be a great person to chat to, you can email hello@the30project.co.uk. You can visit the website, the30project.co.uk, or you can find the podcast on Facebook, 30 Project Podcast. Thanks once again for listening, and hopefully the next episode will be up very soon indeed. Bye-bye.